All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to look at the deception of Eve in the Garden of Eden for just a moment, and then I'm going to take you back to the book of Romans, and we're going to look at the fact that God called this particular sin. I put a definite article in front of it and put it in the singular. It's not sin, it's the sin. And it's been amazing to me ever since I learned it, and I didn't learn it right away. But once I discovered this, as I was studying the Word of God, I've been amazed that so many theologians have missed it over the years. I haven't ever read about anybody else, seeing it. And I'm not trying to blow my own horn or anything, but it's such an important important truth. It's amazing that, that somebody didn't see it. Anyway, in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." And then he says to her, he deceives her by saying, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Or, basically he's promising her what the world promises. You can worship anything, everything, and nothing. And everybody goes to heaven. That's the lie of the devil. And we see it all the time. You see people, the sun will shine through at a golf tournament or something of that sort, and so-and-so's father's helping him win the tournament or something. It's just blatant superstition. So then he goes on to say here, "And when the woman saw," or the scripture goes on to say, I should say, "and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now let's turn back to 1 John 2:15. We did this last time as well, but I just want to get this kind of cemented in our minds. If you have a Scofield reference Bible or any reference Bible, I've never seen a cross reference between Genesis chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16. They just don't cross reference it. But the fact is, it should be cross referenced because we're told, "Love not the world," that's the cosmos. And the cosmos in this context means the order of things. See? And so it says, "Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh." Now she looked at the tree and saw that it was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. And then the lust of the eyes. She looked at the tree and she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. And the pride of life. She saw that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Okay. Now, we've looked at Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16, where Solomon references the same sin. And he says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man," "but the end thereof are," in one place, "there is a way which, and there is a way that," in the Hebrew it's exactly the same word, it's just a different translator. "And which and that," in that context, means the same thing. "So there's a way which seemeth right unto man." What seems right? All of the religions of the world are based upon what man can do for God. You can be like God. Okay? Now, that's the lie of the devil. Now, when we get into the New Testament, let's go turn to the latter part of the fifth chapter of Romans. And I'm going to do something tonight that I don't think that I've ever done. I don't know how it'll work out. I want you to follow along in your Bible so that you can see the difference as I read that portion of Scripture to you from my Greek New Testament. You know, and of course, I will be shifting words, and in some cases there'll be different words and so forth. So it says in this fifth chapter of Romans, we see in verse 12, wherefore as by one man, that's Adam, sin, and it's preceded by the definite article. It's not sin, it's the sin. Entered into the world, and death by the sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all not have sinned. Yeah, we've all sinned, but when Adam sinned, we sinned. When Christ died, those of us who believe, when Christ died, we died. And we're going to see that when we get to reading the sixth chapter in just a moment. Okay? So, this is really the key to what man believes. And man believes everything based upon his morality, a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, turn to the last couple of verses in the fifth chapter. And I'm going to switch Bibles here. And I'll start reading. And you're going to have to pay close attention because it will, you know, it'll seem like he's not reading the same Bible I'm reading. You know, contextually it's the same. But we're going to see some definite articles in different places that haven't been translated. So let's begin at verse 20. But law came in the by and by that might abound the offense. But where abounded the sin, overabounded the grace. And it's not just grace, but it's a specific grace, the grace of God. You know, for by grace are you saved through faith. Okay, so that as reigned the sin in the death, in that spiritual death, both physical and spiritual, you know, so also the grace might reign through righteousness into life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in the sin? In other words, shall we continue operating the way Eve was deceived? But then we have to recognize Adam was not deceived, and Paul tells us that over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, you know, the woman was deceived, but and therefore she's not to teach or usurp authority over the man. So, let's go. What shall we say then, chapter 6 and verse 1? Shall we continue in the sin that grace or the grace may abound? May it not be? We, let's see, how shall we who died to the sin? Now, it's a past tense verb, died. When did we die? When Christ was crucified, every one of us who believes in Jesus Christ died with him. And he counts us to have died because we were baptized not in water, which is what the Anglicans believe. And when you read the sixth chapter in the King James Bible, you get the idea that you can be regenerated by water. But we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he says, let me pick up my context again. So how shall we, who died to this end, or how shall we live in it? Or, you know, how can we be dependent upon our sense of morality as a source of life? Okay? Or are you ignorant that as, let's see, that we were baptized as many. This is a conjugated language, and so you have to get the verbs in the right place. Let me try this again. Or are you ignorant? We, as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, into the death of Him we were baptized. See? So what's that mean? When He died, we died. Okay? We were buried, therefore, with Him by the baptism. That's the spiritual baptism. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See? So, into the death, that as Christ was raised out from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we in newness of life should walk. For if conjoined we have become in the likeness of the death of Him, so also we shall be in His resurrection. This knowing that our old man was crucified with Him. Yeah. So when Christ died, you know, the fact that we sinned in the Garden of Eden, were counted to have committed that sin, even though we weren't there, when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, we are counted to have died with Him, even though we were not even born yet. You know, it's in the judicial reckoning of God. And so when we think about the attributes of God, God is eternal. God is immutable. Immutable means He doesn't change. See? So He's eternally immutable or unchangeable. See? And the way that man thinks, we've got God as a, you know, a doddering old fogey, you know, that doesn't remember what he said yesterday. Not so. He knows the beginning from the ending, from all eternity. Okay? So he goes on. So also of his resurrection we shall be. This knowing that our old man was crucified with Him, that might be annulled the body of the sin. See? So Adam's sin was charged to us. Now, if you think about it, when did the law come? If we go back to the book of Genesis and read on through to the book of Exodus, from Genesis 1:1, to the giving of the law in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, we have about 2,500 years of elapsed history. Okay? And during that period of time, where there's no law, there's no transgression. So, no one, you think about, it says in the days of Noah, man's heart was only evil on the evil continually. In other words, he was thinking about, you know, making himself like God by his knowledge of good and evil. And that's why when the angels came down and cohabited with the daughters of men, God, that was an attempt by the devil to break the chain from Adam to us. See? And Adam to Christ. So that Christ, you know, he had to be a near kinsman, but he had to be without a sin nature. So, let's see, where did I turn the page? Yep, I did. Okay. So, let me pick up the context again. That might be annulled the body of the sin, that we be no longer subservient to the sin. Okay? For he that died has been justified from the sin. Now, if we died with Christ, see, you know, I think it's translated, if we be dead with Christ. No, we died with Christ. That's in the judicial reckoning of God. And since He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, God knows everyone of every age that, you know, that He's going to give the faith to believe. He knows them all from all eternity. So it's no problem in the mind of God for him to count us all to have died when Christ died, and to have been buried when Christ was buried, and to have been raised when Christ was raised, so that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're to walk in newness of life. Well, what's the newness of life? We've always thought according to, you know, one little kid will be fussing with another little kid. That's not fair. That's not right, you know. And that's the way we think naturally. And certainly there are things that are not right. But we don't get to heaven by thinking that we can be right in everything, because we're mostly wrong. Okay? So now let me find out where I was. For he that died has been justified from these sins in verse 7. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that that also we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised up out of the dead, dies no more. Let's see here. This gets a little bit difficult here. So, death no more rules over. Death ruled over Christ because Christ had to die for our sins. Okay? So then he goes on to say, so also ye reckon, or, you know, count yourself to be dead indeed to the sin. You know, in other words, we as believers in Jesus Christ are not justified by the lives that we live. We're justified by faith, believing that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so we're never going to be judged for sin. And boy, that sure ruins a lot of sermons that I heard, well, particularly when I was going to Bible college. Yeah. I mean, God sees you in the back of that car, blah, blah, blah. Necking and doing this and then doing that, you know, it's nonsense. You know, Christ died for our sins, and their, what's the scripture say? Their sins and iniquities will I remember against them when? No more or never. Okay. So verse 11. So also ye reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to these sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not these sin therefore reign in your mortal body, for to obey it in its desires, or don't let it rule in your body, to obey it in its desires. Neither be yielding your members instruments of unrighteousness to the sin, but yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from among the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness to God. Now we're just talking about sin in general. We don't have the definite article. For sin shall not rule over you because you're not under the law. Okay? And where there's no law, there's what? There's no transgression. But you're under grace. What then? Verse 15. Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? May it not be. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves bondmen for obedience, or slaves to obedient, and are obedient to them, bondmen ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin into death, or of obedience into righteousness. But thanks be to God that ye were bondmen of the sin. See? In other words, we have all been born into this world thinking according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then when the point in time came when we knew that God chose us before the foundation of the world, and he quickened the word of God to our hearts so that we could believe it, then now we have to understand what our relationship is. It's not touch, not taste, not handle, not. It's, we serve the Lord by the gifts that He's given us, and the just are to live by faith, and what? The law is not of faith. See? So then he goes on to say in verse 70, but thanks be to God that you were bondmen of these sin, but you obeyed from the heart a form of teaching under which you were delivered and have been set free from these sin, and you became bondmen to the righteousness. See? So it's the righteousness of Christ. We're bondmen to it. We don't have that righteousness by works of righteousness. We have it by faith. So in verse 19, humanly I speak on account of the weakness of your flesh, for as ye yielded your members in bondage to uncleanness and to lawlessness into the lawlessness, so now yield your members in bondage to to the righteousness into sanctification, or we're set apart to God because of what we believe. We're not set apart by touch not, taste not, handle not, but set apart because of the judicial reckoning of God. Verse 20 now. For when you were bondmen, bondmen to the sin, you were free from as to righteousness. Let me look at this. What fruit therefore had ye then in those things of which now ye are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from the sin and having become bondmen to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, life eternal. And then, how many of you, there used to be a car, there's a church over on River Avenue, and the pastor had a car with all kinds of scripture verses on it. And one of the favorite verses that they put in tracts is, the wages of sin is death. Yeah. No, the wages of the sin is death. So we don't die because we get drunk, or we don't die because we robbed the bank. Or you might if they shoot you. but the point is, we don't die because of personal sin. We die because of Adam's sin. Yeah. And it's universal. And for 2,500 years, those people had no law to keep, except they were charged with the sin of Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the law came along, see? And God brought the law along so that in the fullness of time, He could bring His Son under the law to fulfill the law. Yeah. So it's all working with the same plan of salvation. Okay? And it's not that people were saved by keeping the law in the Old Testament. No, no one ever did. The only person who could keep the law and who did keep the law was our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone else, including, Moses, Aaron the high priest, all of the prophets, they all had personal sin. Just like we all have personal sin. Okay, where was I? Verse 22, but now, having been set free from the sin, so we don't think according to our morality, we think according to the fact that God saved us by His grace. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He redeemed us with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, our personal lives, and I'm not saying, do whatever you want to do. That's what people always accuse us of doing. There are consequences for if you speed on the freeway, which I used to do all the time, you have to get a ticket. If you do this, break a law here, break a law there, there are consequences. You may get away with it for a while, but then there's always going to be that time when they catch you. But we're talking about eternal truths and a relationship with an eternal God. And He has a plan of salvation so that as in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. That is, all who are in Christ are made alive. Okay, so let's see, verse 23. For the wages of not sin, the sin. So, Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then she gave of the fruit to her husband, and they both, immediately realized because of illicitly obtained knowledge of good and evil, were naked. But they'd been naked from the day they'd been created. And there's no problem without a sin nature. But with the sin nature, there's a problem. Okay. So then he goes on to say, in verse 23, for the wages of the sin is death, but the free gift of God, life eternal in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have life eternal, where? In Christ. Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. He fulfilled all righteousness. Okay, so we go on here. As we enter the seventh chapter, and there's a beautiful relationship that's expressed here. Let me read it anyway. And so, are you ignorant, brethren? For to those knowing law, I speak, that the law rules over the man for as long a time that he may live. For the married woman to the living husband is bound by law. But if the husband should die, she is cleared from the law of the husband. So then, but if the husband is living, and of course she has a relationship with somebody else, then she'll be an adult. She shall be called an adulteress. If she be to she gives herself to another man, she'll be called an adulteress because she's still alive to the law of her living husband. Okay? So then he goes on to say, but if the husband should die, free she is from the law, so as for her not to be an adulteress. So, if a woman, her husband dies and she decides to marry again, she's not an adulteress, even though she's been intimate with two men. But if she's intimate with two men while the husband's living, then she's an adulteress. Okay? So, here we go. Find my spot again. Okay, let me pick up here. So that, my brethren, ye also were made dead to the law by the body of the Christ. For, let me get it here now. You to be to another who from among the dead was raised. In other words, even though we sin, Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. Okay. Now, for when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins, which were all of the various sins, that's plural here, which were through the law, wrought in our members to the bringing forth fruit unto the death. But now you were cleared from the law, having died in that in which you were held. So we're dead to the law because when Christ died, we died. Okay? So that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it not be. But the sin I knew not unless by law. For also, let me get it here. I had not been conscious of lust unless the law had said, thou shalt not lust. Okay? But the sin, having taken an occasion by the commandment, worked out in me every lust. For apart from law, sin was dead, but I was alive apart from law. One. But having come the commandment, the sin revived, and I died. Okay? And was found to be in me the commandment which was to life, this, or the commandment which was supposed to be for life, was to me death. Okay? This is harder than I thought it would be.
You're not saying
that it's
just in the normal translation.
Pardon?
You're not really saying that much different than what's in the normal translation.
Yeah, but the definite articles.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You still read that, and
just
the definite
article. Yeah, yeah.
It's really hard to listen to.
Okay, well, I'll go back to my New Testament,
and I'll
supply.
That's a lot of work for you.
Yes, it is. Okay. So then we're in that seventh chapter in Romans. We'll start at verse 8. But the sin taken occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, the sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For the sin, that's, you know, which we have because of, you know, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. Now, how could the sin deceive us? It deceives us into thinking that we can keep the law of God. And no one can. Okay? And so, because it deceives us, it slays us. Okay? So, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But the sin, that it might appear sin, you know, working death in me by that which is good, that the sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal or fleshly, sold under the sin. So then he goes on to say, for that which I do, I allow not. You ever have a problem with that? I have. For what I would, that do I not. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then we don't do it. What I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. See? And there's not one thing wrong with the law, you know. It's just the wrong is in us. We have a sin nature that we got from Adam and Eve, and so the law slays us. And God demands a perfect performance, and we can't supply that perfect performance. But then Christ came in the fullness of time, was virgin born, so that he could be related to us, but without the sin nature that we have, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God says through the Apostle Paul in the 17th chapter of Acts that he's made of one blood all of the families of the earth. Yeah. By the way, you guys were having trouble. I do this all the time. Wears me out.
I was just thinking about the people listening on the tape.
Yeah. It's hard to follow along. And I've never tried to do this before, and I won't try it again because it's almost impossible to follow along.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, just leaving out a definite article. And 30 times from verse, let's see, is it chapter 5 and verse 12 to chapter 8 and verse 3 in Romans, we have the definite article before sin in the singular 30 times, and the translators didn't translate it once. And then, you know, they would, if you talk to anybody about this, well, it was a writing style. Okay? Well, the Apostle Paul, there's 30 times in Romans, and then we find it 6 times in the Gospel of John, 4 times in the book of Hebrews, 3 times in 1 John, and 2 times in 1 Corinthians, and once in each of the following, Acts, 2 Thessalonians, and James. So, it's not a writing style, you know. And everywhere that we find the definite article used with sin, you know, it's talking about the sin of Adam and Eve, you know, which gives us a sin nature. And as a consequence, it's impossible for us to live a life while pleasing to God in the flesh. How? The only way we can be well-pleasing to God is we're told in the book of Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's what? Impossible to please Him. Okay. So, there's the other writers of Scripture use this a few times. I think Paul used it maybe 4 or 5 times in his other epistles and 30 times in Romans. See? So, you can't say that this is a writing style. It's there for a purpose. And the purpose is to point out that we got a sin nature from Adam when he ate of the tree. Eve was not our federal head, but Adam was. So she gave the fruit also to her husband, and he didn't eat. See? So Paul goes on to say, the things I would do, I don't do, and so forth. Then verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Okay? And I've got no problem with the law whatsoever. It's just no one can be justified by it. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. In other words, I have a sin nature, and that makes it impossible for me to keep the law. Yeah. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're saved or lost. You still don't have any power to keep the law. And no one but our Lord ever did. So, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. You know, I want to do it. But how to perform that which is good, what? I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin, which speaks of a sin nature, that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I agree with every precept of the law. You agree with every precept of the law. But how to perform it? we haven't got the capacity to. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of the sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What's the answer? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. I agree with it. But with the flesh, the law of sin. I can't perform what I agree with. Okay. Then in chapter 8, we'll go down to verse 3, and then we'll go back to Genesis. Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This is the conclusion of the argument, but we have the horseness of Buck there. We have a chapter division. No. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The flesh, at Galatians, when the Judaizers came to Galatia, they said you can't be saved unless you're circumcised and keep the law. And that's a lie. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the sin and actually the death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, and we could add the word did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for the sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us, in us. Yeah. So God counts us, we're dead to the law. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Okay. So what we do by faith, he'll reward us for that at the judgment seat of Christ. Now let's go back to Genesis, and we'll move on into this book. And okay, let's look at the judgment now. The woman. Well, let's pick up at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God in chapter 3 of Genesis. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did what? See, the concept of morality made them hide themselves from God. And everybody that thinks that they're justified by the lives that they live, by their goodness, They're hiding from God. The only way that they can have a right relationship with God is by grace through faith. Okay. And so, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. I love the way the Lord gets right to it. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Well, knowledge of good and evil. They didn't have a problem with nakedness. See? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, a little buck passing here, she gave me, it's true, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And when we read in that fifth chapter of Romans, we see that Adam was a type of Christ. He who knew no sin, Adam, became sin by sinning. And with Christ, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So we have no idea what the serpent looked like before the curse. Now we see writhing reptiles, okay? But before, it was a beautiful creature. We can even see that, in the markings that are on the various serpents. There are many, many different kinds. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the seed of the woman is Jesus Christ. So we have the promise. And Adam believed that promise, and that's why and verse 20 it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, which means life giver. So there was going to be life in the seed of the woman, not from the standpoint of birthing children, but the seed of the woman is singular, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seed of Abraham is singular, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seed of David is singular, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ is all through the Old Testament, but you know, it's not evident, you know, to the natural mind. But for those of us who have been given spiritual sight, now we can see it. And so unto Adam and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. Where did he get the skins? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. See? So in this, in God clothing them, he covered their nakedness with the skin of an innocent victim, and that victim represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your goodness and grace to us, and pray that we might understand these truths. Tried that experiment of trying to translate from the Greek in a free translation. Didn't work very well. But we know that you work out all things together for good. Bless in a very special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.